I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
You can act like a man!
I came here to save you! Oh yeah? And who's gonna come to save you, Junior?
It's not for mortals like us to tamper with laws of nature.
I can do this all day.
Okay, let's start!
Yeah, start!
What's up, everybody? It's Steve here, and this is the first episode of First Watch. Yeah, first episode, First Watch. And today, well, like every other episode we're going to have, got Renee.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, so this show is basically us talking about a lot of stuff that we actually talk on the other show, but we actually go into more detail and more depth of, you know, the stuff that we've actually watched. So this show is basically for people to watch shit. So, you know, whenever you feel like, okay, I want to see this. So if you have any ideas of what we can watch, you can always hit us up on the Twitters and stuff. So for now, we're going to talk about the first things that we saw this week.
Actually, before we get into it, I kind of just want to set some stuff up.
Okay.
Me and Steve have known each other for a long time, and we're on the same kind of wavelength when it comes to a lot of the stuff that we watch. We're two big nerds, giant nerds, and he watched all the DC stuff. I watched most of the Marvel stuff, and I actually did end up watching some of the DC Universe stuff, but we'll get to that later. My philosophy when it comes to reviewing stuff is that all the stuff, all the content that we see is not free, and time is money, and I don't want anyone to waste money, especially not the people that I love and my friends. So whenever I talk about stuff that I love, like the stuff we're going to be talking about today,
it's stuff that we actually enjoy.
Yeah, it's stuff that we actually either paid for or like really invested our time in, and we thought it was pretty good and pretty cool. The thing I want to say about that before we go into it, because I don't want this to be like a Kevin Smith show where all he does is like talk about how much he loves stuff. We're gonna talk about stuff we hate at some point, but this episode is all about stuff that we saw recently that's really, really good, and some of the stuff that we saw kind of slipped under the radar. So this is a chance for us to kind of just talk about that. And I'm a huge nerd, and I'm also not like I have a lot of time. People know me personally know why. And I just tend to watch a lot of stuff now, and I play a lot of video games now in between my stuff. But anyway, yeah.
So I guess the first thing that we can talk about is something that we saw a couple weeks ago, and it's a movie that came out a couple it was a month ago. And it's still not in theaters yet. It should be coming out in a couple weeks. And the movie we're talking about right now, we're going to talk about, is the first movie. It's Good Boys.
Yeah.
This is the first, I guess, not the first movie that's directed by Seth Rogen or whatever, it's a movie written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, and it's basically a coming-of-age story. But it's a coming-of-age story totally different than what you would expect, in being that it's all about children's. It's children's. They're kids going into the sixth grade, and they're dealing with shit that you would think a sixth grader would go through. Like, oh yeah, what's sex, or you know, what's a penis? How does a penis work? How does it, all that shit, and fucking like you wind up finding out about, you know, sex toys and all this shit that they're like, oh yeah, we know everything, but they really don't know shit, like, you know, most kids do. And what I thought about this movie was it was fucking amazing. It was actually really fucking funny, and actually a lot better than I expected it to be. Because you know, when it comes to movies with children, a lot of children don't know how to act. And these kids actually did their thing, and I was at a point I was like, okay, is this gonna be like completely boring, and or not just boring, but like, is it gonna bore the fuck out of me the entire time because of the way that they're acting? Because the older movies from like way back in the day, I would think like, okay, these kids are kind of lame. Like the few of the good kid movies that I say back in the day was like The Goonies. The Goonies was actually really good because the kids actually did a good job. But other movies like, let's see, like Matilda, that was not really good.
Yeah.
Like, it was good because of everybody else, but as far as like the children acting, and fucking like Annie has like shitty child acting.
Yeah, it's either Home Alone or Goonies.
Right, yeah. So shit like that, and the fact that they actually did a really good job with this, like, the kids did a really good job, and everybody else did awesome in it.
I'm interested to see the reaction to this, because it's actually, we already saw it, so this was, like, the other movie I wanted to kind of, I was thinking in my head about big summer movies. This isn't a hard R for sexual content and language movie, right? And it's got kids as the main cast, so... I can see people kind of getting worried about it. Seth Rogen actually talked about it on some stuff that I saw on YouTube, how like it was a hard sell for him because it's kids and it's hard, but it's actually really funny and it's got a really big heart. These kids they're getting ready to go to like middle school.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had just started middle school.
Yeah, they had just started middle school, and it's that time that I don't have kids, so like I totally forgot about sixth graders, and like, you know, that's the age where puberty starts to hit you, or just hitting you like a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like a lot of what these kids are going through, like we all go through, and it's just really funny seeing it on screen and the jokes that they pull off. There's a couple of really funny cameos. There's a really funny one with Stephen Merchant that was fucking
hilarious. Oh yeah, that was a really good one.
It's a really funny movie with a lot of art, and the kids are actually really good, like you said. Actually everybody in this movie was actually pretty funny. I kind of knew it was going to be good because I had seen the Red Band trailer at the beginning of summer.
Right.
And everyone involved behind the scenes and the writing and like everything Seth Rogen's done in the last year has been really good.
Yeah, it's all been pretty on point.
Yeah, this one was written by Lee Eisenberg and Gene Sapinski, I think.
Okay.
And he's the one that directed it. But I know Seth Rogen produced it.
Yeah, he was one of the producers, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was talking about it in one of the YouTube videos that I saw. It might have been the GQ one. He was like, that he was involved in the casting and everything. And, you know, he's not a director, so he didn't do it. But yeah, no, it was really, really good, really funny. Definitely not for kids.
Yeah.
I know people don't give a shit anymore, but it's really not for kids.
Well, even when we were at the premiere, the other one that we saw yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, they always bring kids, though.
But there was a lady online. She was asking me, like, yo, what was the last one we saw? And I told her, like, it was Good Boys. And I told her, like, she was like, so can I bring my kids today? I'm like, fuck, no. Unless you don't mind seeing your kid watch a movie with, like, dildos flying everywhere. I don't suggest you bring your kid to watch this
movie. I mean, we said it in one of the titles of the episode. It's Goonies with anal beads.
Yeah, like, literally. Yeah.
I was like, some of the jokes made me gag. And I'm like, I'm me. And I'm like, nothing gets me. But some of the jokes are fucking out there, man. But it's really good. The thing I loved about this movie is that it's really hard to pull that kind of language. It's really hard to pull that kind of humor off and keep a heart.
Yeah,
especially with kids this young, because usually like this comedy is like super bad, where like you know these people are gonna fuck.
Yeah, especially like super bad. Super bad. You know that they're older, so they're on the verge of actually going through puberty. Actually, not just going through puberty; they've gone through puberty pretty much, and they're pretty much getting to that age that they want to have sex.
It's a really really fine line between like awkward and hilarious when it comes to kids and this kind of humor.
And they really rode that line really well.
They pulled it off. Really well. Yeah, it's a really really good movie. Go see it when it comes out. It's actually good.
Yes, definitely go check that out. It's actually really worth whatever the ticket price would be for it. I don't know if you want to go, you know, late show or fucking matinee or something, but yeah, it's actually worth watching. So go check that shit out. Good Boys gets a thumbs up from us. Should we do a rating system or no?
I mean,
we don't have to. We just fucking say yes or no.
Like, yeah, like, you know, it sucks or no.
Yay or nay. Yay or nay. That's what.
Yeah, it was funny though, because before we started recording, like I was like trying to think of shit that I've seen lately that sucked, and I'm like, I can't really. Maybe season 6 of Letterkenny, because it got old, but like, can't really think of anything we saw bad lately. But yeah, let's continue.
Okay, so the next movie we saw was actually something that's actually in theaters, and they actually made a huge fuss about it because it was the first Spider-Man movie to actually hit the $1 billion mark in theaters. And we're talking, of course, we just said Spider-Man, but it's also the sequel to Spider-Man with Tom Holland. It's Far From Home. And this one takes Spider-Man to the UK. And he does...
All over Europe, actually.
Yeah. And basically, what's his face? Nick Fury is like, yo, I need you to do some shit with me. It's the whole after fucking Iron Man dies after the, you know, spoilers, yeah, I guess. Spoilers, I guess, whatever. But, after, you know, Iron Man dies and Nick Fury's like, yo, I have nobody here. I have no team. So you're kind of just like heading the team right now. So I want you to fucking help me out because I got to figure out what's going on. Because this dude just shows up and he's trying to fight these bad guys. And I don't know who he is. And I want somebody that I can kind of sort of trust. So he brings him to Europe's. And craziness ensues. And this movie was actually really fucking good too. I enjoyed the shit out of this movie. Of course, you know, Tom Holland does a really good fucking job with what he does. And Jake Gyllenhaal did a really good job as Mysterio. And it kind of, for some people that haven't watched it, there's a twist. That's what I'm going to say.
There's a few twists.
Yeah, there's actually a few twists.
Like four.
Yeah. I guess not to spoil it too much for people, but it's actually, it's very fucking entertaining. Holland's, I guess his relationship with MJ is spot on, like what you would expect for it to be, and how it is as a child. They're really fucking awkward with each other, and it works. They actually seem like they're actually fucking in high school, and you know, really weird with each other and making little quips at each other and shit. And it's fucking good. It makes sense.
Yeah, I loved it too. I watched it with Steve, and it's a great movie. I actually honestly think now, thinking about it and kind of like having a few days to think about it, I think it's the best Spider-Man movie they've done yet. I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man since I was a kid, and I've always been in love with the character. I just love the whole, like, you know, he's from New York. And the comic books that I read when I was a kid, he was a teenager, so it was just like, Spider-Man was my dude until I got older, then it was Captain America. But with the Spider-Man stuff, they finally got to the point in movies where they nailed the character down. And I love that Tom Holland is a younger actor. I mean, it's been said before, but he really nails the whole like teenager young vibe of Peter Parker. Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that he actually looks young.
Yeah.
Because anybody can act young. But it also means of actually looking young.
Yeah, and he's like so into it, and like he sells it so well. Not to take away anything from the other Spider-Man who did great jobs in their movies, but those are different times, and the way people acting has jumped like two generations since the last Spider-Man.
Well, movie. If you think about it, it kind of has been two generations.
Yeah, it's been like what 10 years? No, not, it hasn't been 10 years, but it's been a while. Yeah. And It's crazy to me how like they finally nailed down Spider-Man. The Homecoming was great. I love that one. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, that one had scenes straight out of the comic books. And then this one just like they nailed the vibe of the comic books, and they nailed the vibe of like being a teenager in high school. They also did something really cool with the characters, like dealing with the aftermath of the blip. Or the snap from Avengers Infinity War. Because, mm-hmm. Again, spoilers, this picks up right after Endgame. So it's like, they talk about it in the movies. They're like, yeah, it's been 5 years. And the way they talk about it, it's, they don't like directly say it, but they're like, they were dead. And then they came back.
No, they did say it.
They did? Like, they explicitly, all right, cool, because, like, I was...
They're like, yo, we were gone.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, what's going on? And then
they're dead, and they're dealing with that, and that's why they go on vacation, because it was like, you know what, let's go do something that's fun.
But it was also, like, it was also a school trip.
Yeah, it's
it was a school trip, and they also have, like, you know, like, counseling sessions with everybody and
stuff.
Yeah,
because they mentioned that some didn't come back, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And it's like, you know, some didn't come back, and that's the fucked up part, so... seeing that in a superhero movie, I think is a huge step forward. I don't know if like most critics, I stopped reading reviews, man, a long time ago. But I don't know if anybody else noticed that. But I think it's a huge step forward in the Marvel, you know, in the MCU storytelling. I think that really willing to fucking go all the way now, and I love that, man. Like, it's such a great time to be a nerd.
Yeah,
such a great time to be a Marvel Universe.
And what I love about the Marvel movies now is that they actually show a lot of fucking heart.
Yeah,
because it shows like what we've seen even from like the first Avengers movie. You see fucking like before Captain America goes off fucking like killing all the fucking Chitauri or whatever, he's fucking like trying to get people out of the way so that way they don't get fucked up.
And that's a really good point, because that's pretty much what's missing from the Sam Raimi, and especially from the Sony Spider-Man, the last one of the Spider-Man movies.
Well, in the Raimi one, you had Spider-Man like holding a train.
He just didn't. I mean, that was it, though. I think 2 was really good, but it never, to me, like, it doesn't capture that spirit the way.
Right, yeah. No, you're right.
Tom Holland does, and I hate saying that because I don't want to take away anything from Tobey Maguire, because I love those movies. I think until Far From Home, Amazing Spider-Man 2 was the best Spider-Man movie, the one with Dr. Octopus. Yep. I love that one.
Yeah,
I
that's my jam too. It's really good.
One of the things too that I really really liked about Spider-Man Far From Home, and I actually said it to you when we were watching the movie, these kids are really good actors at being kids, and they're great at acting. And Zendaya, who plays MJ, I had the phone on. I don't want to reach for it. But it's MJ. It's not Mary Jane. It's something else. But she's great as, you know, being a teenage side, you know, girlfriend for Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And the other girl who plays... what's his name?
The big kid and
his girlfriend in this one. I'm blanking on their names because I'm not sober anymore. But they were good too. But my point is that there is stuff that happens in the movie, and Peter makes a giant mistake in the movie with Mysterio, and he makes a couple mistakes with MJ, and he makes a couple mistakes in the school stuff, and they are teenage mistakes.
Yeah.
He does something where he's like, I don't want this responsibility, I'm gonna give it to somebody else. And it's such a teenage thing to do. And it was like, yeah, man, like, this is really well done, really well written. Really, really captures, like, it gets the whole thing of, like, you know, he's a kid. And I also like that in this one, they give the Iron Man mantle to Spider-Man in the MCU. And they kind of did it in the comic books. And it's like, we're going to see the techie, super cool version of Spider-Man from now on. So I'm actually really psyched to see what happens from the next, you know, Phase 4, right?
Yep.
Phase 4, yeah. Really excited to see what happens with that. And, yeah.
Because this kind of sort of was the end of Phase 3, so.
Yeah, it's the last movie. That's the last official Phase 3 movie. Let's talk about Mysterio before we
wrap. Okay, yeah, let's get into Mysterio. What's up with
it? First off, Jake Gyllenhaal is a good actor. He's just like one of the best actors from this generation. That's just number one.
Yeah.
I saw some bad reviews for the Netflix movie that he did, the horror one, but I'm like, that's good too. Like, it's a cheesy, stupid movie, but it's actually pretty good.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that. What's the name of that one? Do you know?
You're asking me now.
Okay, yeah, my bad. I didn't think you would have said this earlier.
I'll look it up while I'm talking. But Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio, Quentin Beck, was really fucking good. It's really hard to pull off. It's really hard to pull off a villain role in any kind of superhero movie. It's more than just like chewing the scenery. You have to kind of do it with a straight face, and that's why like they get these really really good actors to be the bad guys, because those are the hardest ones to pull off.
Yeah.
And he fucking nailed it, man. And like, he's another one that, because there's these great videos on YouTube, the GQ video with the videos with the actors and the directors. And he was on it, and he was talking about playing Mysterio, and he was like, yeah, like, he loved doing it, and he had a great time doing it. And it shows in the movie. Like, he's really good at it. He's fucking nails it. He sells it. Anyone who saw the movie and didn't know about comic books didn't know that he was going to be a dickhead. Like, yeah, they kind of ensued it in the trailers, but they don't really say he's a bad guy.
Well, if you really, really think about it, if you see that, okay, there is this character in this movie, and we kind of see, okay, who's Mysterio? Like, what? Like, if you don't know who the villain is, wouldn't you try to like look it up? Like, oh, I wonder who this guy is, and like, who's gonna be the bad guy?
Nah, you'd be surprised, because actually, like, since I've been down here and kind of like doing the Uber stuff, and like I was talking to people in the car, a lot of people didn't know what was gonna happen. Like, it was a real shock surprise.
Okay.
The Netflix movie is Velvet Buzzsaw. It got some bad reviews, but it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
Mysterio, Quentin Beck, really cool. Marvel villain, one of the coolest ones. One of the coolest ones that we never thought we would see on screen because it's a really goofy fucking costume.
It is a goofy costume that actually made sense and it actually worked.
Yeah, and it worked really well.
And everything that had to deal with him worked too.
Yeah. Like, I'm so glad that they waited this long to fucking use Mysterio because, like, yeah, any other generation of movies would have made it look very, very silly.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool, really well done to see how they fucking, like, pulled off the tricks and you know, the illusion behind Mysterio was, it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. So I guess that'll lead us to the next film.
Oh, we won't go into the after credit thing in Spider-Man because I already saw it. But there's a really cool, both of the after
credit things. Yeah, we won't spoil it that much.
We're really, really cool. I mean, you can look it up if you want to. But yeah, they're actually really, really cool. And they open up the door for whatever happens in Phase 4 or whatever they do next to Spider-Man. And it's actually really cool.
Yeah. Definitely worth it. Definitely worth checking out. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, the next movie that we saw was actually the movie that we saw this week. And we saw that in theaters. And it actually comes out the day after we record this episode. And that's
Hobbs. Tonight. It's not tonight, I guess. We're recording Thursday.
Well, yeah. I guess, yeah. It's out in theaters now. Hobbs and Shaw. Ooh. Oh, no. I just did it.
I gotta take care of that.
Yeah, just talk. Okay, so we got a chance to see Hobbs and Shaw. Yes, Hobbs and Shaw is a spinoff, a kind of sort of spinoff of the Fast and the Furious stuff. And in this movie, we have The Rock, of course, who plays Hobbs, and he's teaming up with Shaw, which is Jason Statham, and they have to figure out what's going on with this what's it called, a virus that's basically let out in England, and all craziness ensues because of Idris Elba. Idris Elba's an asshole in this movie. Superman. Black Superman, like he calls himself. And this movie is actually really fucking dope. I enjoyed the fuck out of this movie. Also, in this one, we actually get to see another sibling from Shaw. Like, Shaw's sister we get to see in this one. She's the girl, the blonde girl that you're seeing in the trailer. And it's actually really good. Like, her character is actually really good because she is also... She's a like MI6 or whatever.
She was
MI6 or whatever, but some shit happens and she gets infected and yeah. All craziness ensues and you got blow shit up in fucking the UK. Again, another UK movie. Yeah. what I like about these movies now is that they're not blowing shit up in New York anymore.
Yeah, right. Or Chicago. I cannot believe that I was actually excited to go see a Fast and the Furious movie.
This movie was super fucking fun.
But I mean, I was really in hate with these movies for a long time because I'm old, right? So I remember when movies didn't have CGI, and I'm a car guy, and I used to love those movies, those car chase movies. And I still think that the Fast and Furious 1 movie is one of the best car chase movies ever. Because most of the stunts that they did in the movie are practical.
Right.
And then it just gets worse and worse after that. That was my huge problem with it. I love Tokyo Drift just because that was in Japan. And I know a lot of people don't like that one, but I like that one a lot. And I didn't like any of the ones after Tokyo Drift up to the one that had The Rock.
Okay.
So...
Well, because if you really look at them, they all progressively became something different than it was in the beginning.
And we were talking about it yesterday. Yeah. Paul Walker can't act, so I was like, I can't.
He's a shitty actor.
Fucking pedophile, too, but that's a whole other story. Just Google him and Teenage Girls, and you'll see what I mean. But I just couldn't stand him, right? So, like, it was really hard for me to watch those movies. Like, I had to be forced to watch them, and I watched them. They got progressively worse. Like, you said it a different way, but I'm like, they got worse. Like, up until The Rock showed up, they were bad. I think it was like, what, two movies three. It was three between Tokyo Drift and when The Rock shows up.
Yep.
So, I just was not into these movies. And then, like, I think I saw the one with The Rock was on HBO, and I finally saw it, and it was actually really good. So, the one in Brazil, that mm-hmm. one, like, so much fun. The one that had Wonder Woman in it. So this movie was really cool, really fun. This was not a surprise, because we knew it was going to be good. The Rock and Statham in the last one had some really good chemistry working as a team. So
this chemistry in this one is, like, off the charts. Like, crazy good.
It's just two fucking meathead idiots, like, just having fun and just beating the shit out of each other and then beating the shit out of everybody else for 2 hours. And it was a lot of fun. It was really good. It was fucking hilarious. It was really funny. We were laughing at a lot of the jokes. It's coming out after the weekend, so spoilers if you don't know the cameos. Ryan Reynolds is in it. He's fucking hilarious. What's the little man's name? Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's in it. I wasn't ready. Kevin Hart is in it, and he's fucking hilarious too in his cameo. But I think Ryan Reynolds beats him out just a little bit. Yeah. The Game of Thrones joke at the end of the movie was fucking hilarious. I'm actually gonna try to record a little video before I get really stoned about, like, warning people, because people were actually complaining when we left the theater. But it's fucking, it's really funny.
Yeah, because it's funny because I still haven't watched the.
Yeah, last but you know, you said you knew what happened.
I knew what happened or whatever. I figured it out or whatever.
But yeah, Ryan Reynolds, like, spoils the end of Game of Thrones, and I was like, holy shit! Like, when he said it, I was like, oh my god! Like. And I'm King Spoiler, and I'm like, wow, that's fucked up. But the cameos were great. The stunts were cool. It's really crazy, because I know a lot of the stunts are completely CGI, but you're so into the movie at that point when shit gets really unbelievable. Mm-hmm. For me, it's really funny, man, because that's another thing why I hate these movies. Like, that was a big part of what I had to do to enjoy these movies, and it's something me and Steve were talking about before we saw it yesterday. You have to suspend your disbelief completely. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, completely.
Think about going into this movie like you're going into it with this, like, watching a superhero movie.
You, Star Wars, man. Like, you can't even compare the superhero movie because it's, like, so fucking over the top. Like, it's science fiction.
Think about it. Like, well, yeah, it's definitely science fiction. But, like, you're seeing The Rock fucking, like, punch a dude through a fucking wall. That's some superhero shit. John,
that's possible. Like, you can definitely knock somebody through a wall. That's not that hard to do. But I'm talking about, like, the sheer physics of the stuff they do. We were talking about it yesterday. What was it? When King Meathead jumps from one bridge to another going at 80 miles an hour to catch a chick in midair. And then...
Yeah, that was in, like, the Fast and Furious 3 or some shit like that.
You know the setup in that stunt? Mm-hmm. In, like, real life stunt work,
either you're gonna fall,
off the
highway because it was between the highway. It wasn't even the two bridges.
Yeah, he would either not catch her and completely they both fall, mm-hmm. or he hits her in midair and they both fall, mm-hmm. or he does by some fucking sheer miracle catches her in midair, but he's going so fast and traffic is going faster that when they both hit the car, they both die instantly. Because he broke her neck and he broke both his hands and then he fucking gets run over.
Yeah.
But you can't think that way when you watch these movies. And that's one of the things that I had to do to enjoy these movies again. And I do it completely. So it was fucking hilarious to me when, like, we were watching, the people were kind of complaining. People are complaining online now about Idris Elba with the superpowers. But I'm like, you can't fucking think that way.
Yeah, that's one thing that we haven't really explained is that the fact that he technically has powers because he has basically like bioengineered or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what this company that he works for is trying to do for everybody as far as in the military.
Yeah.
They're trying to bioengineer people so that way.
Somebody patent cyborg? Because it was really funny. Like, that's what he is. He's like, he's a cyborg.
Yeah. Right? I think Jean-Claude Van Damme has that cyborg shit.
My thing, and I had to fucking do it when we were watching this, because, like, the tattoo thing was fucking funny, but it was so wrong, because, like, a tattoo gun doesn't work the way it does in the movie, and I was just like, dude, like, alright, I mean, I get it, but that was just kind of stupid. And then, when they do the first real fight, and they jump out the window, The Rock jumps down holding a fucking cable, right? With his bare fucking hands.
Yeah.
running down an 80 fucking story building. His arm would completely, the rope would have cut his arm off, like, the minute he jumped off.
Because it wasn't even a regular rope. It was a fucking, like,
it was cable. It was, like, still cable. Yeah, I was like, dude. And then, like, like, with no gloves or anything, I was like, ooh. The woman next to me said it before I said it. It was fucking
hard. She's like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I was dying.
Yeah, but it was actually that part. That's actually a part that we see in the trailer. So, like, you know, don't
but worry. Oh, that was the other one. The last stunt they do, or the last bullshit thing, because that cannot be real life with the chopper and the trucks.
Oh yeah,
I was like, oh my god.
Yeah,
like,
I knew that was That was way too much. Like, what the fuck? That was the biggest what the fuck moment in the movie.
Really? Right? Yeah. Because it was like they did like a reverse like fucking transformer. Because it was like they kept adding trucks to the fucking line. And I was like, that first,
like, they have really good aim with these fucking trucks, and like,
yeah, right,
in fucking Samoa with like nothing, they have really good aim with fucking like using the like, I guess, kind of like harpoonish fucking things on the truck, on the back of a truck.
It was really funny. Like, I mean, it was great, but it was fucking hilarious. What the fuck was it? Tip of my tongue, man. That whole thing with the trucks and the helicopter was just the funny shit to me. It was like, if that was real life, the fucking helicopter would have fucking exploded.
Oh, yeah. It would have went down.
It would have went down. Like,
with all that weight, yeah.
Yeah, immediately. There's no way. But no, no. Like, and then, and that's the thing. Like, some of this stuff is so fucking over the top, you just can't help but laugh. Again, The Rock is fucking hilarious as Hobbs. Statham is fucking hilarious as Shaw. The fight scenes were great. Mm-hmm. Really, really over the top movie. I mean, even for them, it was like the WWE version of an action movie. But having said that, I really wish the people behind this movie would get the license to G.I. Joe and do a G.I. Joe movie. Because once Idris Elba showed up, like, it just kind of, they went into G.I. Joe mode. And I was just like, all right. This is cool. Like,
yeah, like, that would have been a better version of the G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Yeah, just make you just out of a Cobra Commander and just fucking go to town. Like, that, it was really cool. Like, this movie is gonna be huge and people are gonna fucking, you know, love it. And, yeah, we dug it. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it was fucking great. I enjoyed the fuck out of it.
It was just sheer fun for 2 hours. It was really, really good.
Yeah, like, shut off your brain and just watch it. Just fucking watch it. Don't think too much about it. Just sit down, get your popcorn, shove it in your face, and just keep moving, because it's fucking great. It's really fucking fun. So you guys go check out Hobbs and Shaw this weekend. And, so I guess that's pretty much it for the movies that we've watched. So we're going to talk about some television stuffs, some TVs. And this is all stuff that you can find on, like, on any type of streaming thing, so you can find it on Amazon or on Netflix or Hulu or HBO Goes or wherever you want to see it, you can watch it. And the stuff that we watch, I guess the first thing we're gonna talk about is The Boys.
I mean, wait, before we do it, before you answer, I do deep dives. Like, I'll go and like find shit on eBay or on Kodi that like you can't find anywhere else, and I'll watch stuff deep. We'll do that eventually at some point. Or anyone listening to this has any kind of request, we'll do that too. Like, I'll hunt it down, I'll get it on Amazon or whatever. We like he said, anything streaming, like Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix, HBO Go, Stars, maybe Showtime, depending on, we'll see what comes out. Definitely DC Universe stuff. I want to talk about some stuff next week.
Yeah.
Next episode about DC.
Yeah, because there's a lot of shit that's going to be coming out.
I've got a hard on for DC Universe. I never thought I would want to pay for DC Universe, but DC Universe is fucking,
it's worth it.
The stuff we saw was just so fucking good. But yeah, we're going to talk about all that stuff. And like I said, I tend to watch stuff that's like really obscure, but it's really, really, really cool. So yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, we actually went to the Amazon Primes, and the first thing that we're going to talk about is The Boys from Amazon Prime, and that's actually loosely based on the comic book series by Warren Ellis, right?
Garfinis.
I get them fucking confused all the time.
Warren Ellis is like the sci-fi guy, and Garfinis is like the violence guy.
Okay, yeah, you are right about that. Yeah, so The Boys is basically, in the comics, it's these supers that are going against supers. In the show, it's regular dudes that are going against supers, because supers are don't get really, you know, they do whatever the fuck they want to do and nobody really gives a shit. There's no repercussions to anything that they do, and people are hurt because of them, and you know, they're just like, okay, whatever, fuck it, let's go, let's keep moving.
Yeah, like, to set it up, Garth Ennis is the guy who made the Punisher now. Like, he wrote Preacher, he created Preacher, he was the one that did Punisher Max in the 90s and reinvented the Punisher to the character that he is now. The stuff on the TV show was basically based on Garth Ennis' version of the character, which is the serial killer who goes after criminals, and it's just my favorite Punisher. But Garth Ennis is one of my favorite comic book writers. I think he's a brilliant fucking writer. Mm-hmm. And that's literally so crazy. Yeah, like everything he writes, he's really good. Him and Grant Morrison are two of the best comic book writers out there. And he created The Boys, which is... I love this comic book. I read the comic book when it came out. It's one of the few comic books that I actually bought when it was coming out, because I never paid for shit. So,
allegedly.
air quotes, allegedly. But no, like, Preacher was fucking one of my favorite comic books, and then mm-hmm. when The Boys came out, I was buying it as it came out, and because yeah, I think Boys was coming out just as I was transitioning to all digital. Yes. Not sexually, just all digital, like instead of like paper, like everything I use on a tablet or my laptop, so or my screen. So The Boys was something that I was buying, and it's so good, dude. Like it's a real version, it's a real life version or a real world kind of take on what would happen if you had normal people
mm-hmm. with dealing with you know, superheroes everywhere.
And they would be assholes. And mm-hmm. it's such a great fucking comic book. Like Steve said in the comic book, it's superpower people against superpower people. In the TV show, they went with normal people without superpowers going against superheroes, which I think was awesome.
Yeah, and it actually
worked. One of the biggest changes from the comic books, and I thought it really worked really well. I was a little apprehensive about the whole show because the other show that they've done has gotten mixed reviews because the same people, and again, this is Seth Rogen and Goldberg yeah. producing, and I mean, Seth Rogen's the one that brought this to Amazon, so they did Preacher, which I've heard mixed things about, and I still haven't seen.
I enjoyed the first season. I haven't seen the second season yet, so
I'm actually going to check Preacher out because The Boys are so good. Yeah, like, it's their version of The Boys surpassed my expectations. I don't think it's as great as the comic book. I think the comic book is a little bit better because of the stuff that they can pull off in a comic mm-hmm. book.
But they do pull off a lot of shit.
Yeah, I'm going to get into one major thing that they did that there was a complete change. But I got to talk about what happens in the comic book because it's so fucking out there. But I love this show. And I'm so happy that so many other people love it because everyone was talking about it over the mm-hmm. weekend. Every fucking episode was really well done. Every fucking episode was really well written. The yep. cast is great.
Yep.
I don't have their names in front. Again, I just put my phone down. I'm looking for it. But everyone here is fucking great. Homelander, the guy playing Homelander, he's done some
other...
Yeah, the bootleg Zach Morris. He's done... he's actually done some stuff that I've seen him in, but he's like a chameleon character actor mm-hmm. like you don't recognize. He's really fucking great as Homelander. Like, he totally fucking sells being that douchebag superhero, Superman type. The woman that plays Mav does a great job. Yeah. What's her name? Starlight,
yeah.
Yeah, like, dude, everybody. Huey, dude, the guy that they got to do Huey pulls it off so well.
He did a really good job, yeah.
He captures Huey's innocence, and it's not being naive, it's just being innocent about how certain things should be, and mm-hmm. He pulls it off really well. But the one casting that I fucking love is, Carl Urban as yes. Butcher.
Yes.
To me, he's always going to be Dredd because I love that fucking movie and I love that character of Judge mm-hmm. Dredd. But he's fucking Billy Butcher now, man. Like, he fucking nails it. Like, that character, he pulled him off the page.
Yeah.
And brought him to screen. Like, it's such a great fucking portrayal. I really hope that people that see this, like, track down the comic book and give it a shot and give it a read, because the comic book is really fucking good. Like, if you like this show, you're going to love the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but
and also like, one thing that they basically they also did, like, in the comic, you actually have you literally have Simon Pegg
as Huey
in the comic book, And then I was at the beginning, I was wondering, like, yo, are they gonna do Simon Pegg in the show?
Huey in the comic book is based on Simon Pegg, so he looks like Simon Pegg.
Looks exactly like
him in the comic. So if you pick up the comic and you see Simon Pegg, that's why. Like, it's a literal thing. A couple of comic books have done that with other characters.
Yeah. Kind of how the Ultimates have Nick Fury.
And yeah. Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, the comic book people who aren't nerds reading this, the whole Black Nick Fury came from
the Ultimates universe,
an alternate universe version of the Marvel comics that they did to sell more comic books. Mm-hmm. Comic books are really convoluted; it's really hard to explain. But trust me, there's stuff that they pull off from the comics that's so cool that
and that's a lot of shit that's going to happen now because everything is having, you know, multiverses.
Yeah. I mean,
everything's going to tie into something else.
And then they flip it and pull it into Marvel universe because then they put the black Nick Fury in the Marvel universe, like. The black dude. This 616. Is how stupid. This is how, stupid. This 616, is how stupid Marvel Comics is. To people who don't read comics and are listening to this, which I think is like two people, but they're so fucking nuts that they like wrote in to Marvel Comics history that Nick Fury had a black kid.
Yeah,
and he became Nick Fury. And just to make him look like fucking, you know, just to explain
that. Make it look
like
legit.
Sam Jackson. Yeah, which is a funny shit. But what was your favorite parts of the show? Like, what was the best thing? What did you like about the show?
Okay, what I loved about the show was actually Starlight. I really enjoyed Starlight throughout the entire thing because Starlight was one of those characters that she's just learning how to be a superhero. She's wanted to be a superhero since she was a kid, and she finally gets inducted into the Seven, and you basically see her like, okay, are these people actually doing the right thing, or are they like just doing whatever the fuck they want? She wants to be a superhero, and what's happening is that it's all kind of like a publicity thing for them. So you have like a publicist telling you like, oh yeah, you need to go here and handle whatever's happening here, but you're not really fighting crime everywhere else. It's more like, oh yeah, you're just gonna be fucking, you know, behind behind the scenes of whatever is gonna happen. You're gonna see what's gonna happen, and then you fucking figure it out, and then you're gonna have cameras on you. You're like, oh yeah, look, I'm a good guy. I did this all for you. And that's one of the things that I enjoy, that she was like, I kind of don't want to do that. I kind of want to actually be a hero and actually save people. And the one scene that we see in like the third or fourth episode, or like the second episode, I think it was, where she winds up beating up the two dudes that are trying to rape her.
Yeah, stop the rape.
That was actually really cool because she was actually trying to be a hero. And then she got shit for it. Because somebody was, you know, somebody was recording her because she didn't know that was happening. So, yeah, they were like, fuck you. Like, you know, you can't be a hero. You have to actually do what we tell you. Which is kind of one thing that I was like, damn, that's fucked up. But I did enjoy the entire series. There was a couple things that I enjoyed too that was really cool. I guess I'm gonna call him Elastic Man. I don't remember.
Oh, fuck.
The Jesus dude.
Yeah.
It was really cool that the way they actually, you know, pulled him off, which is actually fucking interesting as fuck to me. How you see like that one scene with Invincible, the dude in the fucking cage.
Yeah.
I call him Invincible. That's not his name, but he's like impenetrable. Yeah, there you go. But that shit was really cool. The way they kind of like got rid of him was interesting.
That was hilarious. That was actually really cool.
It was actually really good. A lot of good dialogue. A lot of dialogue actually. But it's actually really worth watching. I enjoyed the fuck out of that show.
Yeah, I mean, I was really pleasantly shocked. I was also pleasantly shocked that so many people love it too, because like there's certain comic books, man, that are so over the top and so like out there, and I consider The Boys to be one of them, that I thought it would be really hard to fucking film it, because the stuff that's in the book is really fucking hardcore. So I was like, now that we have the streaming channels, they can do it. But it was like when the book came out, they didn't. So it was something that I never thought would ever be done.
Along with the creators, they're probably like, yo, this shit is never gonna fucking be in a fucking TV show.
And such high quality. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so well written, man. It's really fucking good. The thing, too, is, like, since it's an Amazon show, The push for it was fucking hard. Like, everyone was fucking seeing it. Because I knew about it because I liked the comic book. But the push the month before it came out, or the 2 weeks before it came out, like, it was everywhere. Like, they had ads everywhere. And they had ads for it everywhere. And people actually saw it because of those ads. Those ads work, man. And, yeah, like, I've been seeing people, and people that know me and, like, know I like the comic book have been, like, asking me about it online. And I'm like, yeah, like, it's really, really good. It's one of the best fucking comic books that Carfiness has done. Yeah, I fucking loved it. I like, the best thing I liked about it were the fucking changes. The airplane thing that happens in the show, the one in the comic book is way worse. The one in the comic book is 9/11. So, like, I think they end up on Flight 93. And it's really fucking bad. You can look it up for yourself. I'm not going to get into it. But basically, they fuck up a rescue for 9/11. It's actually, like, worse than what happens in a TV show. It's pretty much along the same lines, but it has the entire team. It's not just Maul and Homelander. The other one was the... there's two big changes from the comic book that I actually really like. One was the ending. I'm not going to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. But the other one is that Homelander and Black Noir are clones. And the way that ties into it is fucking insane. But they can't do it because they actually showed something really quick in the first episode. Because, like, the first episode at the end, like, in the comic book, something really fucked up happens. And it's Homelander. But Homelander doesn't remember doing it, right? So, on the TV show, Homelander does something really fucked up. And then in the next episode, he fucking admits he did it. And it's like, oh, so they're not going to do it. All right, like, all right, like, we'll see what happens next season. But yeah, Black Noir is basically Homelander's clone.
In the comics.
Yeah, in the comics. We don't know if they're going to do that in the show. The other thing, the only thing I didn't like was that it was too short. It was only 8 episodes. Like, I really, 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 really wanted more. but apparently, they got greenlit for season 2.
But that's a good way to start. Just give us eight episodes. Everybody, you can see everybody's powers throughout the entire thing. There's nobody, like, fucking holding back. Like, oh, yeah, they're not doing anything. They're just, like, sitting there. Oh, yeah, who has powers? Who doesn't have powers? No, all the people that need powers or have powers, you can see that, okay, yeah, this is what they fucking do.
Yeah. It's pretty out. The thing that I totally forgot until I saw the show was that the way these characters are presented to us is really different than they are in their world, right? Because everybody knows that they're superheroes. But what happens to Starlight and what happens to Huey is the reader's introduction to what happens to them. And it's like the viewer's introduction to what happens to them. Like, these superheroes are really fucked up. And they're not supposed to be. Like, they're projecting that they're, like, you know, lily white and super clean and fucking Jesus and God. Mm-hmm. But they're actually really not. And they're actually some of the worst human beings on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's such a hard fucking story to pull off on TV. You could do it in a movie really hardcore. And I did not think that anyone could do it on TV. And Amazon fucking really pulled it off. They nailed it.
Yeah,
they did. To the fucking wall. Like, they did a really good job.
They're like, holy shit, like, how are they going to do season 2? Or what are they going to do for season 2? Like, are they going to continue with the story? Or are they going to fucking just start doing their own thing? Or what's going to happen? That's what I'm kind of excited for.
Yeah, because, I mean, apparently they're going to do stuff in the comic book. I heard they're going to do some of the orgy scenes for season 3. Like, legit, they said today that they're going to do that. They're leaving the herogasm stuff in the comic book.
That's hilarious.
Until season 3. But yeah, season 2 got greenlit right as they finished the show.
Nice.
So they've already, like, season 2's already fucking, like,
it's planned in the works.
Out and written. Yeah, it's already written out and ready to go for them.
Fuck yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, man, I can't fucking wait. I guess, like, in 2 years or so.
Yeah. Yeah, so another show that we watched. I didn't watch a lot of it. I just seen a couple episodes of it so far. And that's a show that's on HBO Go or on HBO. It's a show called Euphoria, and that stars MJ,
Zendaya,
and she's a youth that's dealing with fucking, like, drug problems, and she's gone through rehab, and she's trying to get better, and then of course she is in high school, so there's a bunch of shit that goes down. And it's some shit that you wouldn't really expect to see in something that's supposed to be like a teen drama, because it actually isn't necessarily a teen drama at the end of the day. It's actually very adult, because these kids are going through some adult shit. which is something that's totally different than what we were used to seeing. So I'm going to hand it over to Renee, because Renee has seen a lot more than what I've seen, and he'll be able to explain a lot more shit than I would.
Alright, yeah, so to kind of jump on what Steve was saying, Euphoria is basically, yeah, it's Zendaya plays a girl who's just literally gotten out of rehab. The show starts right before school starts for them. And yeah, like, she's getting ready to go back to school after having almost died from an OD. And it being high school, everyone knows what happened. So she's getting ready to go back to high school, and she meets this girl who's transgender. And her name is Jules. Wait, yeah. So Zendaya plays Rue. And she meets this girl who's transgender that everyone knows is transgender. Which I can't find her name. Oh, Jules. Yeah, Jules. Played by Hunter Schafer, who's also, like, really, really good. And they just end up hitting it off. And they end up being really good friends. And the show is just, like, their story. And a view of, I guess, the first couple of months of high school. Or the school year for these kids, and it's really hard to explain because I don't want to spoil it, because I know a lot of people haven't seen it. It's apparently a sleeper show. Like, I've had to tell people to watch it, and they've watched it. It's a show that kind of blew my mind as I was watching it, and we watched the first episode together, and I just kept watching it. It's up to episode 7 as of now. I think the day before this drops will be episode 8, the season finale for season 1. It's a really great show. It's a very adult show about being a teenager, which has not been done this well, I don't think, since My So-Called Life. It's just one of the realest fucking TV shows I've ever seen about just being a kid and about being an adult right now, because the stuff that these kids are dealing with is... the stuff kids are dealing with now is stuff that, like, people of my generation or my age have a hard time dealing with and grasping. And seeing it on a TV show portrayed this way, where it's easy to understand what they're going through and what a lot of adults are going through with their sexuality and facing issues like depression and anxiety and dealing with addiction, which so many people deal with now, and in such a well-written way and such a well-acted way by mostly teenage actors and, like, young actors. It's just so well done. And I was really shocked, too, man. Like, we were watching the first episode, and I was like, wow, this is really good. The only thing I knew about the show before it came out was that it had penis in the first 3 episodes. Like, there was, like, warnings. Like, they were, like, telling people, like, you know, this is a really sexual show.
Warning,
they,
mad dicks.
Yeah, man. Mad dicks and mad tits. So, like, if you get triggered by stuff, like, you might kind of want to be warned. And I've never seen that kind of warning on a TV show. Like, I've never seen an actress and a producer be like, all right, this show might fuck you up. And one of the things is that there's a lot of penis. And I was just like, alright, like, that doesn't bother me, but I just thought it was really funny. And then you watch and, like, yeah, the first few episodes have a lot of dick.
Well, that's kind of like people so would say funny. People were saying back in the day about, like, Sons of Anarchy. They were like, oh yeah, there's a lot of man ass on the show. And as we've progressed, you know, they're kind of like, oh yeah, let's no more man ass. It's just
shit. I'm old enough to remember NYPD Blue when that was a big fucking deal. But I mean, they go out of their way to show penis in this, which is fucking hilarious. It was like, one of the things I loved about the show is the way they deal with sexuality. Like, they, because Rue, like, Rue goes off on, like, every character, like, for the first, like, minute of the show. Mm-hmm. And she breaks them down. And, like, the way she gets into it is just so matter of fact, but so easy to fucking understand that I was just like, wow, this is really, really, really well done. I love Jules, the other girl who's, like, the other main character. She's so fucking good at being her. And the stuff that she deals with, man, like, yeah, like I was saying, seeing these kids deal with what, like, adults deal with is, like, it's heartbreaking, man, because, like, when you're a kid, you don't have the coping skills to deal with that shit. So that's why, like, they get drunk. That's why they do a lot of drugs. That's why they, like, get in trouble, because, like, they're kids, man, and they make a lot of mistakes. And seeing these mistakes happen, you feel so bad for them, man. But it's so good.
In a way, it kind of reminds me of that movie back in the day, Kids. But not as fucked up as
Now he's like, they're not evil. Like, well, no, Nate, one of the characters is so good at being a bad guy. Like, Steve hasn't finished watching, and people who've seen it are gonna, like, they're shaking their, they're, like, you know, nodding their heads at me now. Yeah, Nate, Nate and his dad. Nate is played by Jacob Elordi, and his dad is Cal Jacobs, played by Eric Dane. And it's just fucking, like, these guys are, like, Lex Luthor and Joker level bad. Like, they're, like, huge, like, just insane. Yeah, it's such a great show, man. Like, the whole cast is great. The show's good. Like I said, it's really, really sexual. So, if you're not into that kind of thing, you know, just be forewarned. Yeah, it's good.
It's from what I've seen so far, it's actually really interesting. It's actually something I actually like have to sit down and actually watch more of it. And yeah, I'm really excited to see more of it because he's always like ranting and raving about it. So
yeah, it's you know why, man? Because it was like teenagers now are like teenagers and young people now. They have half of them are really stupid and half of them are really smart. But they're kids, and I don't think any of them are evil or bad. I think even the ones that are bad, like, they're kids. Like, shit happened to them, and they ended up that way because of what happened to them. Like, it's really not their fault. And I know a lot of people shake their head at that. And even me, I had a hard time dealing with that. But it's just reality, man. Like, kids now deal with shit that we never had to deal with. Mm-hmm. Man, the way they deal with it is not the way we would have dealt with it because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones. And we had boundaries and limits, man. And these kids don't. So this show right now is like tapping the vein of what's going on, and that's rare. And like I said, I don't think it's been done since My So-Called Life. So that's why it took me a minute to fucking think of a show that actually has been this good with kids and hasn't been done since that show. And it's been like, what, 20 years since that?
A long time.
It's been a while. So yeah, Euphoria, definitely check it out on HBO. The whole season should be on HBO Go. The whole season is on HBO Go by the time you hear this. Mm-hmm.
And I guess you got one more thing, right?
The other thing I watched that's new, it just literally came out last night, was Jihad. What the fuck? I just had it written down. man. Paper. All right, give me a second. It was on HBO. It was a documentary called Unmasking Jihadi John. It's about the guy who was beheading people in Syria in 2014 and 2015. And it's a really interesting documentary about a guy who was literally from just... He was not regular. I think he was going to be a criminal anyway. Just when you see the documentary, you'll see what I mean. But he was a kid who was already on the bad path in England. And the bad path led him to becoming an Islamic militant. And that led him eventually to Syria and what happened and the events that happened that we saw. And the documentary, like, basically just explains what happens. And because it's HBO, like, they kind of don't even judge what happened. They just say what happens. And it's fucked up story, but it's actually really interesting. And, yeah, definitely worth checking out. That one's on HBO Go. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And I guess that pretty much sums it all up for this week's episode. Hope you guys enjoyed this week so far. So head on over to innercitygeeks.com where we have a whole bunch of shit sometimes. And we're going to have a lot more shit a lot of times. We have, of course, this show. We also have the main show, which is the Inner City Geeks podcast. There's also the Inner City Geeks turntable with me and Charlie. There's also the Inner City Geeks webcomic that comes up every so often. Yay Toys with Brian. Bunch of shit, like Comic Con Sabor, Manga Times, Anime World, everything that's on theintercitygeeks.com. Yeah, that's all pretty much the shows. Oh yeah, and the Good Games podcast. Yeah, forgot about that because they haven't been on for a while, but they're still awesome. So check that out. Those are older games, of course. They haven't put up any new episodes in a little bit. So if you want to actually think about old games, just go check that shit out. While you're in theintercitygeeks.com, check out the links at the bottom of the website. And actually, you could check out the first one, which is the one to Amazon.com, where you can actually get your first month free for Amazon Prime. So those that you don't have Amazon Prime, you can actually click that and then watch The Boys. Be a good thing to do on Amazon Prime right now. Also, you could get, you know, free shipping on stuff for like second day and stuff. You could do all that on theintercitygeeks.com.
I love Amazon Prime. I cannot believe I'm doing a fucking plug for Amazon, but I love Amazon Prime. As bad as they are delivering stuff, they're actually really good. So, Amazon Prime, guys.
Yeah. So make sure you click that link and it'll take you there. You could also buy whatever you want on there. If you don't want to do the Amazon Prime, you can buy whatever you want on there. And yeah, it'll just give us some credit for it. Also on industryeats.com, you have a link to So Sick Clothing Company, where you can buy a bunch of like geeky clothes and shit, which is actually pretty cool. Got some cool shirts and hats and t-shirts and hoodies and long sleeves and a bunch of shit. Bunch of cool shit that you can check out. So check out So Sick Clothing Company, and at checkout type in Inner City Geeks, and it will give you 15% off your entire purchase. So yeah, So Sick Clothing Company, SoSickClothing.co. You'll do that. And then I guess one of the last things we can do is actually talk about where you can find the show. You can find the show on SoundCloud. It's all going to be on the same feed as the Inner City Geeks podcast. So you're going to see, you know, the new logo for this show. If you're on SoundCloud and on Spotify, those are only two places that actually show up. It doesn't show up on Google Play Music, but it doesn't show up on what's the other one? Stitcher either. It's just the main one, but if you go on Spotify, you do see the logo for each individual show. On SoundCloud, it actually does the same thing too. But like I said, make sure you follow the show on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, and on Spotify. So I've said that like four times already. So make sure you go listen to the shows there. Also, you could share with all your friends. And while you're sharing them, make sure you let them know that you can find us on the Facey Space at faceyspace.com/innercitygeeks, on the Twitter at innercitygeeks, on Instagram at innercitygeeks, and you can find me at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal on the Twitters and on Instagram, same name. And you can find Renee where?
At DarthBX, DarthBX. One word.
Yeah. And, yeah, so I guess, thank you for listening to the first episode. And I guess, say goodbye.
This was fun. If you're listening to this and you actually do, you know, have some kind of interaction with us, please let us know what you thought. And if you have any suggestions, let us know. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. And I guess to sign off, I would say watch some shit. Catch you next time.